Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm going to be your host this evening, Ryan, and it's just going to be me this evening. I said this evening twice now, and now that I've pointed it out, it's extra weird. Anyways, Jocelyn is busy tonight. I almost said it again. She's preparing for a weekend and just getting off her Joss to Legend stuff. So we're going to do a call-in episode, and to start things off for people who are listening live, I'll do the instructions once, and I'll let the chat room handle the rest of it, so the audio listeners on the podcast feed aren't, like, weirded out that I'm talking to people that technically aren't around anymore. So add rmurphytgi as a Skype contact. We will pull you in. I will pull you in whenever we have a lull or we want to switch up the conversation, but be sure to add it as a contact. It makes it much easier. So that's good. I did want to start the episode. We'll touch on this probably next week when Jocelyn's back, but I did want to say that, huge congrats to Jocelyn in her sort of trek/journey on the way to Legend. I'm sure she's learned a lot and we're going to hear a lot about that, on the next Angry Chicken and obviously on Gamers Inn next week. So be sure to congratulate her, to wish her well wishes, using the hashtag, Joss to Legend, and of course at mentioning her at GIS Gamer. I'm sure she'll super appreciate it. She's been retweeting a lot of messages and they're all super fantastic. So keep up the supportive positivity, because that's super important. But enough of the intros. Let's get into the show. So again, rmurphytgi is the contact you want to add. But I've sort of front-loaded the show to give you guys a chance to call in. I have got many-time guest Josh Cook on the line. Josh, how's it going?
It's doing fantastic, sir. Thank you for asking.
Good, good. And, you know, this is a gaming podcast, so we'll sort of use Josh as an example of what you should do on a gaming podcast, and that's talk about video games. So, Josh, what games have you been playing?
Well, not to start this off on an awkward foot, but I actually wanted to jump on to express appreciation for the Gamers Inn.
Wow, okay. Well, yes, this is not planned at all. I had no idea this is...
I wanted to surprise you guys with it.
Okay, but good.
As of this week, I am celebrating my one-year anniversary of finding the Gamers Inn podcast.
Wow.
And it has been a long year for me because you guys have inspired me to start my own little gaming thing and my own little podcast, and it's been going very well.
Yeah, well, we should mention that. The AnyKey Gaming, it's a great podcast with you as the host and a lovely Australian known as Evan Ottaway, right?
Yes.
And that's akgnetwork.com, right?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to make sure that we got the plug in, but sorry, I'll let you continue.
I tried to
put the positivity back on you, but okay. All right. Keep it coming, I guess.
But yes, it's been a fantastic year for Evan and I. It was a little rough at the start. We were just learning, but everything's been going very smoothly as of late, and you've given us a lot of help, especially in the past month or two with our new website, which is looking fantastic. Thank you for that, sir.
Good, yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to jump on and say, you know, I really appreciate everything you guys do, and thank you for, you know, inviting me into this community. I still remember the first night I played with you guys for Gamers Inn Game Night.
Right. Carito the Dorito.
Yep, you called me Carito the Dorito, and I found out the hard way what happens when you have a Twitch video running while also running in a game and the audio doubles over. That was interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to jump on, say, Sweet. You know, thank you for everything. Gaming-wise, I got a PS4, and I'm playing a lot of Minecraft. It's a lot of fun.
Nice. Yes. Well, it should be mentioned that we super appreciate you as well, because you know you've been a patron of the show for a very long time and a consistent name that keeps popping up when it comes to community feedback, when it comes to game night. I mean, speaking of Diablo 3, but
well, it's been a pleasure.
Good. Well, no,
fantastic.
Thank you.
Ride. I hope that I don't get off anytime soon.
Yeah, good. Well, you mentioned you bought a PS4. That's news. Because you were sort of an Xbox One aficionado, and you were constantly trying to get us to buy an Xbox One. I think maybe when Jocelyn bought the PS4, it was sort of the, it's happened. Well, okay. But no, yeah. I think an Xbox One is fantastic. It's bound to happen at some point. But you caved, you bought a PS4. What was the cause? It certainly wasn't Minecraft, right? Was it?
It was mostly my little sister, who also enjoys video games, plays on the PS4.
Mm.
And once I got my good old tax check in, I was like, you know what? I really miss playing with my little sister, because we played a lot on the PS3, but since I got the Xbox One and she had the PS4, we haven't been playing together. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a PS4. We've been gaming on, and apparently my other sister has it as well, so there's three of us jumping in there, and then I know all of you guys have it, so I feel like it was a solid choice to make.
You know, I've always said that if it's not the games that brings you to a specific platform, it's the people, right? I think that was sort of the reason I picked up the PS4. It was sort of like a combination of things where it was, I think the hard sell was, the easy sell was Second Son, the infamous sequel that was like, okay, for sure. But also I knew a lot of my friends, like all my friends from university were picking one up, and that's sort of my gaming crew outside of the Gamers Inn, and they were all getting PS4s, and I don't know, it makes sense to have one, and then as games start to come out, like, it makes sense to have two. I mean, not that you're a real gamer when you own them all, but, like, if you want to play the games that, you know, if you want to play the games that that you're interested in, you kind of need the platforms to do it.
So. Yeah, and definitely Uncharted 4 was the easy sell for me, because I absolutely love the Uncharted series, so when that comes out, I am definitely picking it up.
Yes, Uncharted 4. It's just around the corner. Uncharted 4, probably this fall, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So GTA, I think, is a game you're also playing. Probably playing online with your sisters.
Yes. The graphics update in that game is fantastic. Compared to the PS3 graphics, it feels like a whole nother game.
So are you interested in finding out what... better question. Do you have PS Plus yet? Are you downloading all the free games that have come out?
I have whichever one allows me to play over the internet.
Yeah,
that's PS Plus.
Make sure you get Rogue Legacy. This is kind of a PSA as well. Like they reset every month, and I think that the current ones are going to be gone on the 3rd of March. They have not yet announced the March titles, which is odd because they're usually ahead of the game. So it'll be interesting to see what's holding them up. Possibly some sort of thing that hasn't been closed, a deal per se. But no, that's really cool. I'm glad that you've picked up a PS4. We're friends on the PS4. I'm trying to think of games that you could get that we could play together. But I don't have GTA. I never played GTA 5. Is it? Well, it's worth picking up on the old next gen?
I think it's a very fun, guilty pleasure kind of game. We've been having a blast with it. And, I mean, even the game itself, just the things that happen is hilarious. So, I think it's a fun buy. I know a lot of people are like, oh, the violence, blah, blah, blah. No, it's fun.
Violence is kind of in a lot of games these days, so I don't usually... Yeah. I don't, you know, but maybe back in the day when GTA 3 came out, there was an argument there that it was above and beyond, but there is lots worse stuff out there that you can get your hands on when it comes to video games and violence, so... you know, just keep it in the game and don't live stream you sadistically laughing as you kill people and run people over in GTA 5 and you'll be fine, I think. Moral of the story. Well, anything else you want to chat about? I know you said you had to run real quick.
Well, that was about it, man.
Cool. Well, nice. I do appreciate you, you popping in. I'll let you get off to your weekend plans. And if somebody else wants to call in, we can chat. Certainly give me a ring and I'll add you to the call. But Josh, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and again, let the fine listeners know like where they can find you before you head off.
Well, I do the Anykey Gaming Network. We have the Anykey Gaming Podcast every Saturday at 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can check us out on Twitch, the Anykey Gaming. We also have our lovely website. A big thanks again to Ryan Murphy, akgnetwork.com.
Cool. Well, that's awesome, man. Have a great weekend.
You as well, sir.
Cool. All right. Well, there's our first... Thank you, Skype. Please tell me if I can rate your service. So that was our first call. Again, for those who want to call in, it's R. Murphy, TGI. I think Lou is going to be our next caller, if I can figure this out. Skype. I'm usually on the Mac. So I'll give Lou a call here. probably talk about zombies or something. I need to turn off Skype sounds. There's Lou. Hey, Lou, how's it going?
It's not going too bad. I got to mute the stream.
Yeah. I'm probably pretty far behind, so like I was like, oh, I wonder if you'll know I'm calling. But it got pretty close there. But Lou is my fantastic co-host on Zombies Ate My Podcast. Notice how I didn't say lovely. I've been getting away from that. And I'm assuming we have zombie games to talk about. You and I both have a zombie game on the docket coming up, but
we do. We do.
Yeah. And that's Resident Evil Revelations 2, but why don't we start with the non-zombie title? You mentioned in chat you were playing Darkest Dungeon, and I have this installed on my Steam library just waiting to be played, so I need you to be like, play this now.
And it should be played. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm actually in the process of writing writing some preview coverage for it. So, cool. But Darkest Dungeon is probably one of the most brutally hard games you're going to play in a long time.
Fun. That's awesome.
Your characters are going to die and die and die.
That sounds now, for those who are wondering, Darkest Dungeon is a early access title on Steam.
Yes. And I have to say, I tend to stay away from early access. I've bought in several games, and for one out of every like 8 games I've bought in early access has kind of sucked. They've been like really, really, really rough, and they sure do get better later on in early access, but like that, as soon as they show up, I usually avoid them. Mm-hmm. And this one was one that literally people were saying, no. It feels like a done game. It feels like a done game. So when I started playing it, I was like, wait, why is this in early access? I've played new games that don't feel this polished.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. I mean, like for most early access titles, I think the ones that give it the bad rap are like the H1Z1, the DayZs, the Rusts, the games that literally aren't finished that are using early access to kind of get out there, get community feedback, continue to keep the lights on, stuff like that. And with Darkest Dungeon, I think it is more about just getting the game out there to people who want to play it, continuing to fund development. It'll be finished when it's finished, but maybe early access is just a more honest way of saying, like, look, we were going to make you pay for this and then do a bunch of DLC, but we'll put it out in early access. We'll patch it for free. And like you said, it feels finished, which is awesome, because most early access experiences kind of leave you wanting more, right?
Yeah. I know that from what I've read about Darkest Dungeon and what they've posted, I think there's some more character classes and some more stuff coming. So, I mean, it isn't a finished game, but it feels like a finished game. It doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like most games do, where you get into it and you go, oh, yep, all right, I can see where they want it to go now. No, you can play the game from beginning to end, from what I can tell. Oh. Though I'm only about midway through. I have not, I will not be getting anywhere near the ending of the game. Mm-hmm. So the basic idea is, you're part of a wealthy family, and you get a letter from your uncle, and somewhere in the family mansion, a curse has been unearthed, and there is like a gateway to the other dimension with Cthulhu on the other side. And so the countryside and the mansion are all overrun with monsters and demons and dungeons. And the premise of the game is, you hire mercenaries to go into the dungeon, find family relics and treasure, and then come back to the surface.
And is it... So when you come back up to the surface, you're just... That's like the roguelike loop where you go down. That's your into the darkest dungeon.
Yep.
And that's your sort of like your roguelike, try to get as far as possible, get as much as you want. And then you come back up, and that's the end of the... Now we can relax, and it's sort of like a management section?
Yeah, it's like... So... There's different sections of the dungeon. Like there's a town you can go to that's been overrun by monsters, a woods that's been overrun by monsters. There's like 3 or 4 different places you can go. And your goal is you have to unlock the mansion. And there's like a beach that you have to unlock those areas. But to do that, you need to beat basically a bunch of mini bosses. Hmm. But your heroes are not strong enough to fight the mini bosses.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is you send your heroes, you pick what area of the map is open to you, and there's usually one or two quests available. And the quest might be explore 90% of this map.
Mm-hmm.
Or kill all the monsters in these rooms. And so the object is your heroes go down into the dungeon,
mm-hmm.
and it's all 2D side-scrolling.
Oh, okay.
And you just go forward and backward. That's it.
Really?
And you're wandering through hallways, and then every 5 or 6 screen lengths, you go into a room. Mm-hmm. And there's either a treasure in the room, monsters in the room, but they can also jump you in the hallways between the rooms. And when you get to the room, there's a map area in the right-hand side, and you pick which direction you want to go. Do you want to go left and go down another corridor, or do you want to go straight and down another corridor? You pick where you want to go on the map, and then it's more 2D walking down a hallway. And certain characters have the ability to see traps. Some do, some don't. And as they level up, they get better abilities. And it's all kind of hidden, so you don't really see all of the stats. And it's like, nope, nobody saw the trap, somebody stepped on the trap, they got severely wounded. And in the meantime, while your heroes are wandering the dungeon, they also have a torch that's burning out. So you have to constantly be lighting torches, because the more your characters are in the dark, uh-huh. the more likely they are to go get driven mad.
Right, and then, so is that sort of you're not just combating your health pool, you're also combating your insanity pool?
Combating your health pool, mm-hmm. and your insanity pool.
Okay, yeah. So in order to recover, you try to get back up and back up to the surface, and you recover, and it's just like a reoccurring thing? Like, is there an end point? Is there a conclusion?
The goal of the game is that you're supposed to build up your mercenaries to make them strong enough to go into the mansion and get into the basement of the mansion and seal up the doorway to the other world altogether. That's the object of the game. But you have to beat one area. The bosses are necromancers, so you're constantly fighting undead skeletons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And first you meet the necromancer apprentice, and he is like the big mini boss, and he will destroy you if you don't prepare before you go in to fight him, and you have to go through the whole dungeon to get to him. So you may get to him and realize, yeah, I've had the bejesus kicked out of me, and I'm never going to be able to beat him. So I'm going to have to abandon this quest and go back to the surface.
So I'm curious. This is sounding an awful lot like the way Rogue Legacy is set up, in the sense that I'm assuming that the dungeons are random, right? Like every time you go in, they're random. Okay, interesting. So just like Rogue Legacy, not just like Rogue Legacy. I'm curious. In Rogue Legacy, your sort of progression is constantly progressing. Like, you're never complete reset. In Darkest Dungeon, like, can you quote unquote lose and then have to start the game over? Like, if all your dudes die?
No.
Okay. Good. That'll happen a lot.
The idea is you have to send 4 party members into the dungeon at all times. And it has to be 4.
Ah.
And so there is a cart that pulls up. Every cycle of the dungeon is considered a week.
Oh, okay.
Every time you go into the dungeon, it's supposed to be your adventurers were in the dungeon for a week.
Right.
And if all 4 of them die, there's a cart that pulls up the next day with 4 new adventurers.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, you can build up a base of adventurers, which you use the artwork and treasure that you find to upgrade the amount of them you can have.
Interesting.
And then the worst part...
You're describing this game, and I'm like, yes, I am glad I have this game, and I want to play.
And the combat is all turn-based. There's nothing action-y about it. It's all strategic.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good, because this game is out on Steam now, and I think it's coming to PS4 this summer, I think.
I don't know if it's coming to anything. I do know that it is for PC and on Early Access. I don't know anything about console.
Yeah, I remember the devs talking that upon full release it would be on PS4, but that's probably a while.
It would be perfect. The whole time I was playing it, I've been playing it. I've been going, man, I wish this was on my Vita.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it would be perfect for my Vita. So if Sony gets it, that would be awesome.
Cool. Well, Darkest Dungeon, you highly recommend, right?
I do.
Cool. Okay. And that's an indie darling. And speaking of indie darlings, you're going to be at PAX next week.
Yes, I am.
Yes. And the week after that, we have invited you onto the Gamers Inn to kind of give us your report. We didn't do it last year because you didn't go, but we did it the year before. Well, and I remember enjoying it.
I did go last year, but I only went for an afternoon. And I really didn't get to see anything. So there really wasn't anything I could have filled you guys in on for.
Hmm.
I went and I was there about 4 hours and then I left. So,
right. And so, sorry, as most people know, like PAX, I'm sure people are hearing like, oh my God, there's going to be Blizzard news there. I'm not going to make Lou's going to go to the show to do what he wants to do. I'm not going to make him wait in giant, stupid, crazy Blizzard lines. But I'm sure it would be appreciated.
I will tell you right now, I will not be making the Blizzard panel, not because I don't want to, but because basically I'm arriving the day PAX begins.
Oh, okay.
And it is the first one of the first panels of the day. I won't even be at the convention center when it happens.
Well,
so
no one's holding it against you. I wouldn't want to wait in those lines anyways. So,
but they are supposed to have a huge booth on the floor, and I'm going to try and see what's there.
Oh, good.
So I can't imagine. I don't think there's supposed to be an announcement, but I don't think it's supposed to be a major announcement, and I don't think that there's going to be anything on the show floor that wasn't already at BlizzCon. So,
I'm sure there. I think they were teasing an Overwatch hero. I saw like a magazine with a silhouette on it, and it was like, oh, somebody's retiring from boxing, and it was like, okay, that doesn't sound like any of the heroes they've announced yet. And people are convinced that there's going to be a new adventure for Hearthstone, which, you know, I'm not the expert, but I'm sure that is a logical thing to announce and then release this summer. So, but I'm more interested, like Blizzard news, we can hear about that any day. Blizzard news is as great as any other news, but I'm also looking forward to the Steam stuff. I've been hearing a lot about the Steam machines. I really want to pick up just a small little Steam machine to stream like my games from my office to my living room. That is so unfortunate to have to drag that thing into the living room. I'm just worried I'm going to like carry it in and then one day just like trip over a dog toy and just drop it and have it shatter everywhere. But, you know, I'm most looking forward to hearing what the next big indie titles are going to be, because those are my bread and butter, like when I'm sick and tired of AAA stuff, you know.
Well, there's a indie mega booth this year is supposed to be 79 games, which is probably one of the largest they've had. So there's going to be a lot to see.
Cool. That is rad. So we are going to have you back on the 13th of March. That's a Friday. And before you go, we'll do a quick tease and plug for Zombies Ate My Podcast, because you've actually been playing Resident Evil Revelations 2 Episode 1 Penal Colony.
Yeah.
I believe is the full title.
Yeah, and my big takeaway, and that most things your listeners should take away from it, it is the most video gamey video game you'll play in a long time.
Well,
you really like video games, you might like it.
But that's so weird. Like, and I'm an apologist. Everyone knows that by now if they've been listening to this show for the last 157 episodes. I love me some zombie games. I love me some Resident Evil. I love me some video gamey video games. Some video game ass video games. But when someone says it's pretty video gamey, like, I don't know what that means. Like, is it just like a bunch of QuickTime events or?
No, I will describe it as this.
Okay.
You play as Claire Redfield.
Yes.
She wakes up in a dungeon.
Uh-huh.
Is the basic opening of the game. Well, there's a video that she gets captured. She wakes up in a dungeon. She has a wristband on that turns green. And then the door to her cage that she's in turns green and lets her out.
So it's a Saw movie.
It feels like that.
Okay.
You then rescue your counterpart, who is going to be your partner throughout the game. And the two of you get to the top of this stairwell. And there is what looks like, you know, like an interview room where there's the two-way glass.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a hole in the two-way glass. And the hole is probably about the size of a fist. And my thought was, all right, there's a hole in the glass. It should be easy to break. There is a chair behind you. Why don't they give me an FMV where you grab the chair, and smash the mirror.
Okay.
Nope. It makes you leave that room, go down the hallway, get a combat knife, go back down the hallway, and then smash the mirror with a combat knife.
Right. So what you're saying is Claire should have brought a combat knife to a chair fight.
Right. Well, my whole point was like, they could have put the knife on the other side of the glass and just done an FMV of you smashing it with the knife, or put the knife in the room. There was no reason for them to make me leave this room and go down a hallway. It wasn't like there was anything for me to fight. There wasn't anything that was scary. And it wasn't even like the rooms were interesting. It was like, yep, we're going to send you down a corridor so you can get a knife and go back.
Chat room. I don't know if I should read. Crimson, I hate these like word amalgamation names. Crimes Endorsement, I'm going to call him. That's not how it should be pronounced. He says, worst glory hole ever. Yeah, probably. I mean, shards of glass really don't go well with that. But
I'm not saying I'm not enjoying it, but I've spent about an hour with it, and all I can say is, it feels like a video game. Like, the story is really kind of dull and bland and predictable.
Resident Evil, gotcha.
It's wicked Resident Evil. It is the most Resident Evil you'll play.
Okay. Well, we won't go too much farther on that. It sounds like we both need to give it some more time. Me, especially, because I haven't actually played it yet. But we're probably going to be discussing that next week. I think we've all picked it up for Zombies Ate My Podcast. So
we have.
Speaking of which, Lou, why don't we pull someone else in? Tell me, I know already, but tell the fine listeners where they can find you.
You can find me at Busy Zombie Lord on Twitter. And like Ryan said, we do Zombies Ate My Podcast together. And stay tuned. There is a new show that I will be on coming up soon.
Yes. That every time I hear you plug it, all I hear is Lou going, you need to finish the website, Ryan. It's like,
yes.
All right. Well, you know what?
You do realize I've plugged it on like 6 podcasts recently, right?
I know. I listened to them all. I think you even did a podcast episode for the new podcast saying, Ryan, finish the episode.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, you know what? I think this weekend I'm feeling good. I'm going to get some stuff done. And on the list is your podcast website. We're nearly there, launching very soon. TM, Blizzard TM, evidently. It's taken so freaking long. I will apologize again on air and then off air. But yes, thank you for coming on, Lou. Thank you for talking about Darkest Dungeon. You've convinced me. You've answered my question. What should I play this weekend?
I think you'll like it, and I'd be curious as to what you think.
Cool. Well, maybe we'll talk more about that next week. So I'm going to let you go, Lou, and we'll pull somebody else in. So have a fantastic evening.
You too.
All right, thanks. All right, so next person who wants to call in, just call in. We'll pull you in. I like the one-on-one. It seems to be working out real well. Maybe we'll try and speed things up. We've already gone a half hour. So next person who wants to call in. While we're waiting for the call, I've got a dilemma, and I'll pop it right out. I've got a huge list of games that I can check out this weekend. We got Josh Williams. We'll get back to that in a second. Hello, Josh. How's it going?
Good, Ryan. How are you, mate?
Oh, got somebody else coming in.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, can.
Perfect. So, Josh, you are on air. Why don't you... So, what are you playing?
Past week, I've been playing Space Engineers, which is an early access game on Steam.
Nice. And what do you do in Space Engineer? But that was free, wasn't it?
It was just recently. That's why I got into it. Saw it pop up in my library and thought, oh yeah, I can have a look at this one. And it's very, very Minecraft.
Okay, neat.
So, yeah, it's space Minecraft with some really, really cool physics, and that gives you sort of an idea of what Space Engineers is all about.
Okay. Yeah, that was... I saw it free. I think I own that game. And is it one of those games, like... Is it like Minecraft where you're kind of like... peck away at it, go in there, play a little bit, and then figure, oh crap, where'd my hours go? It's now 2 a.m, and I've been building this spaceship, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And spaceship's probably the first thing I think everybody tries to build. But yeah, it's interesting because of all the physics. Mm-hmm. Like, you can jump in your spaceship, go to your full speed, and turn off your spaceship to conserve all your energy, and just keep going.
Oh.
Or you can, you know, put your buffers on, inertial dampness, I think they're called, and it's really handy for space combat because it helps you pull up and retarget, or you can turn it off and do a massive big strafing run.
Oh, interesting. So, have you been playing this with other people, or just sort of like pack it away at
it? Not solo.
Okay, interesting. Now, what do you find more enjoying? What do you enjoy more in the game? Do you enjoy the building aspect or the flying aspect?
Well, I haven't quite got my head around the building aspect yet because it's a lot more involved than Minecraft. Like, particularly if you're playing in their survival mode, which I didn't play, but the gist of it is that you've got to pack all of your turrets full of ammunition and make sure that all your spaceships don't run out of fuel and that sort of thing. So it's a lot more in depth. But I mainly try to just build spaceships and fly them and try and fight them. I'm not quite sure how the combat system's supposed to work because I kept getting owned by just the basic mining vessel that starts near you.
Nice. I think a few people actually were playing this game. I think the first caller we had on, another Josh Cook, he played this game, I remember. I think he was talking about it. Like, he spent weekends playing this game, which is why I'm sort of familiar with it. Now, is there, like, co-op per se? Or are you just kind of joining servers with other people?
I haven't played anything with anybody else, but I do believe that you can do servers with other people or co-op on a local sort of, you know, closed off area.
Interesting. Cool. So are you playing anything else, or are you just building your spaceships, pretending to be...
Well, I sunk so much time into it. I was like, oh, Jesus, I need to go and play something else because I'm getting sucked into this. So I played went back to SWTOR. So I hadn't played it since it was pay-to-play, and I think they really bugged up their free-to-play system.
Oh, no.
Unlike WoW's, where you just get to play a character as it should be until level 20, They slow you down so badly. If you don't, you know, buy the coins or you don't have a subscription coming out of your account every month.
Huh.
And it makes it really hard to play.
Punishing you for not paying them money.
Yeah. Like, you gain less experience. You gain... you don't move as quickly.
Wow, really? And like, they hamstring you?
Yeah, if you're paying them, you get sprint right off the gate. And sprint is huge in getting around before you can actually get your own mount.
Wow.
And so it just takes so long to do anything. So in the end, I just played space combat, which is fun as all hell. But again, you're not earning experience as quickly as everybody else is. So you end up getting gimped really, really badly.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I haven't touched SWTOR in so long. Like, ages. And I remember when it came out, that was like the second episode of Gamers Inn, and I was playing it alongside not Jocelyn. Jocelyn was smart enough to kind of be like, you know what? I'll wait a couple months, see if it's still around, and it dove hard. I'm glad people are still playing it though, and being free to play, I'm sure it's done really good for that. Now, you say space combat. I remember space combat being like sort of like a Star Fox minigame. Is it still like that? Like, where you're kind of like...
No, because like, I got in Australia, we weren't offered it right off the bat. I had to go and buy an overseas copy and register it overseas, US, to be able to play it. And it was just this on-rails thing, and it was really quite boring.
Yeah.
They've changed it to a massive PvP format now. So it's free roaming around this massive big battlefield, ducking, diving, weaving, all sorts of different ships. So you've got your small, nimble scouts... You got your generic fighter types, sort of like the difference between your TIE interceptors and your X-Wings.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get these other types of ships, which are, you know, bombers, self-explanatory, and a gunner ship, which is like a sniper.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find anyone that's upgraded their sniper ship and is any good at it, they dominate.
Huh.
So if you're in a scout ship, it'll one-shot you no problem. A little bit frustrating, but still... probably the most fun that I had in that game.
Cool.
And I loved the original Knights of the Old Republic and Knights of the Old Republic 2. thought, yep, that'll be fantastic, jump in, but nah, just it fell flat, and particularly with the free to play model they've gone with. If they level capped it and left it as a, you know, a pure experience up to the level cap, mm-hmm. like WoW does, it would be fantastic. Because I played the WoW free to play just as an experiment and raised a panda. It was great fun, you know, great the twinking community. The level 20 PvP was great, but there's just nothing like that in
SWTOR. Yeah, no, I remember people saying it's kind of like it's a pretty big gimp with the free to play system they've added. And I mean, they give away expansions for free, do they not? Like, or do you pay for that too?
No idea. I went in there just like, I'm gonna play this free to play and I'm gonna see how it goes, because. Yeah, I did play it originally, and I think originally I only got to level 20 or something before I just sort of switched off and thought, I'm going to go back to Skyrim.
Hmm. Oh, cool. Well, I'll pull someone else in, but thank you for calling. Is there any other games that you're looking forward to, or games that you'd like to hear us discuss on the Gamers Inn in the future? Or you're not going to send us to SWTOR, are you?
Hell no. you guys did a great job, and aside from those games, I'm just playing all the usual Blizzard suspects. That's great.
Good. Oh yeah, we love Blizzard games. I mean, like, that's no news on the Gamers Inn. We're big fans of the Blizzard titles, and I have yet to try my selfie camera in WoW. I will get around to it. I haven't seen if Jocelyn's posted her WoW selfie. I think she's been pretty consumed by Hearthstone, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it very soon. Well, anyways, thank you, Josh, for calling. Is there anywhere people can check you out on the internet?
Just on Twitter. The night one with underscores in between the night and one.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for calling, and hopefully you'll stick around for the rest of the show. I'm sure we got a lot of awesome callers coming up, but, you know, good luck with SWTOR. It sounds like you should probably go back to Space Engineers, but I know people that have been connected with the show before have played Space Engineers. We're going to have Evan on a little later, who I think played with Josh, or maybe Josh played, but anyways, maybe you guys can, like, build spaceships together and then fly them again. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. We'll find out. But no, thank you for calling. And, yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, catch you later.
Bye. All right, we're going to pull Nick Carver in. He was the next person to... I need to mute these Skype sounds. I'm going to try and do that. There we go. That didn't work. Hey, Nick, how's it going?
Hi, good, how are you?
Good. I was trying to mute sounds, but evidently it didn't work. But maybe it was already set up. I'm good now. Now that you're on the call, we've got our next caller, Nick Carver. What have you been playing?
I've actually been playing Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate recently.
Oh, nice. I want to hear about this. This is a new 3DS game, right?
Yes, I actually ended up getting the Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate Special Edition new 3DS, so I'm playing the game on the special silver new 3DS.
I am kind of jealous right now. I've never been able to really get into a Monster Hunter game, and I it's funny, I actually, the one time I tried to get into it, I was like, okay, this is happening. I'm going to play Monster Hunter. I went out and bought, like, Monster Hunter Tri for the Wii. It was, like, the $90 version because it came with, like, the Pro Controller Edition or something. And I hardly even touched it. But I hear that the one on the new 3DS, and the 3DS for that matter, is actually a great place to jump in. So please tell me, how awesome is this game? And how awesome is the new 3DS? I haven't talked to anybody who owns one yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I gotta be honest, this is the first Monster Hunter game I've actually ever played. So I'm going into this, like, completely fresh into the entire series. And I gotta say, I'm extremely hooked on it right now. it's a lot of fun. I mean, I've never actually played any other hunting game like this before. But I love all the different kinds of weapons they're able to give you. I have tried a few of them, and it's amazing how different the game feels depending on what weapon you're using and what fighting style you're using. And that was Ghostbusters on my phone.
Nothing wrong with Ghostbusters, as long as they don't want to sue us for this YouTube version. But so that's good. I'm glad you've been enjoying it. And you know, the other thing too is actually discounted here in Canada. Usually games in Canada are about $10 to $5 more expensive than elsewhere in the world. And I'm assuming you're not Canadian. Maybe you are. I don't know. But
from New York, actually.
Oh, sweet. So you're not far off. You guys have the less than stellar version of Niagara Falls, but we don't hold it against you. But that's New York State, so you're probably from New York City, right?
Well, I'm.
I guess you're from both.
I'm from Long Island, actually. We are the suburbs of New York City.
Ah, see, I don't.
If you ever heard like the Hamptons or anything from like Law and Order or anything, that's Long Island and where I'm from.
I think there's a How I Met Your Mother joke about like New York and like Long Island, maybe.
There is. They visit Long Island every now and then and like to make fun of it.
It's not like that, is it? We're probably in the same boat, right? Because they make fun of Long Island, they make fun of Canada. Yes, we have Tim Hortons in Canada, but not many people actually talk like that. At least the ones that do make it out to Tim Hortons. But no, right. Cool. So Monster Hunter 4, you're really digging it. Now, should I pick it up? Like, I don't have a new 3DS. Do you find, like, the new 3DS-ness helps?
I think it does help. For one, I was playing on the original before. I didn't have the XL. So the larger screen, if you don't have it, definitely is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest change is I don't know what they're actually calling it. The control, the camera nub over on the right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
That actually makes a big difference because the other way to control the camera is on the the touch screen.
Right.
There's a little like gamepad there where you can move the camera around, but having quick access to it on the new 3DS is actually a lot better. That's the only thing that makes a real difference, but I think playing it on the new 3DS is great. I would, if you have a new 3DS, I would definitely recommend it. I've been just having a blast on it. But even if you have the old 3DS, I would still recommend it because I played the demo on the old one and it was still a lot of fun.
Oh, that's right. I do have the demo downloaded. I don't have a new 3DS, but I do have a 3DS XL, and I agree with you. I find the screen real estate is a huge help for any game, and I thought I was going to notice like a pixelation issue due to like the blown up screen, but you hardly notice it. You know, it's there, but like you have to really look for it. But I think the bigger screen just it far outdoes like just the fact that it is a blown up resolution. But so how far are you into Monster Hunter 4?
I guess I'm not terribly far. I'm only in the second town that the caravan goes to. There's like small stories from each part. So it doesn't. There's not really a huge overarching story or anything, or at least not one that I've come across yet. So I think I'm still pretty early. I've only started, last week I just started playing. But I've basically been playing it nonstop on my commute and lunch breaks during the day. In fact, I was playing it while I was listening to your other guests and right up to the point that you called.
Oh, cool. And that's the beauty of the 3DS. You just slam her down and you go on your way and it puts it to sleep and it's great.
Exactly.
So did you mention this is your first Monster Hunter, right?
It is, yes. Okay. I haven't played any others before this.
So I need to know, like, do I spend the $45 to get this even though I have not played before, like a Monster Hunter game?
I would say yes. I would say this is a very the game is definitely worth the investment. And as far as a jumping off point into the Monster Hunter series, it actually works great for that. They give you a lot of nice tutorials on and basically kind of drip feed you certain things, and basically how all the little minor systems work in the game. They kind of drip feed it to you, which is really nice.
Just a
lot of fun. Plus, the two new weapons they included in this game were really good. So,
oh, they've added new weapons to the game.
Yeah, there's one that's like an insect glaive. It's just like a two-handed glaive, but you also have an insect that sits on your arm that you can send out. It can absorb fluids from a monster and bring it back to you, and it gives you buffs for the different kinds of fluids they absorb.
Interesting. Wow, that sounds weird.
And yeah.
Have you now you have the new 3DS. I'm curious, are you going to pick up Majora's Mask? Have you thought about...
I actually already have, and I've actually already beaten it.
Oh, wow, cool.
I picked it up the same day as I got this, and that was actually the first game I played through on, and I went through, I beat it, and I'm normally a huge Zelda fan, but I never played the original Majora's Mask, so this is my first time playing through it.
Oh, wow. And what'd you think, being a newbie to the Majora's Mask world?
It was a lot of fun. It was definitely an interesting experience going into it now, because I have seen a lot of stuff already throughout the years about theories on the whole thing about Majora's Mask, and even people looking in depth to it, like the game theorist has his videos on the whole Link is dead sort of thing. So it was interesting seeing it with that knowledge, but overall it was a very fun game.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that that game theory episode where they're mm-hmm. talking about that theory, and it checks out both in game and with his logic, and the fact that it mm-hmm. in game and in world with Twilight Princess and the Stalfus Knight that shows up. If you guys aren't subscribed to the game theorists on YouTube, they put out some great fun content.
I'm actually the one who sent you the original video for that Night Strider.
Oh, okay, yeah,
the Smite video.
Yes, is the Smite gods too sexy? And I still do think they're probably too sexy. They could tone it down a little bit, which is why I'm glad their new hero, the Bellana, I think,
mm-hmm.
is actually, like, an appropriate-looking female character. I guess some would nitpick and argue about the boob armor, but, like, you know, they went this far. Let's give them that, you know?
Yeah.
There isn't exposed skin, so let's, you know, give them a clap and a pat on the back for that, and let them have this one.
Exactly. I mean, it's not like they did like what they did with the Egyptian god, who I can't remember her real name. I just remember what you guys call her.
Well, we went back to respecting her, and we call her Neith now, unless she's Neith, in her Carnival skin, and we go back to the old nickname. But yeah, Smite's got some interesting choices when it comes to the way they portray their female characters. But I don't know. I guess it gets them money or gets them views or whatever.
I guess so. It's a fun game overall. I mean, after hearing you guys talk about it, I went through and played and started playing it myself. So
yeah, that seems to be a common thread with people who listen to the show. It's like, man, they talk about Smite a lot. And we play Smite a lot, and we stream Smite a lot. And mm-hmm. It's actually, right now, its competition is Dungeon Defenders 2. And I think once Jocelyn takes a break from Push to Legend, we'll be playing more Smite, playing uh-huh. more Dungeon Defenders. Still Hearthstone as well, but...
of course.
Yeah. No, that's great. I'm glad you mm-hmm. called in about Monster Hunter 4. I've been sort of on the fence. I should give the demo a shot, I think.
I think you should. It gives the fighting mechanics. I mean, there's still a lot that doesn't touch on the whole questing system, carving up monsters to create your armor and create your weapons. I mean, honestly, it did take me... There was one part where I really wanted a set of armor, but the pieces of the monster weren't dropping, and it took me a good hour to get everything. But there was a good, satisfied feeling after finally getting the piece I needed to complete my entire armor set. It didn't feel exhausting. It felt rewarding at the end.
And I guess one final question before I'll let you go and we'll pull someone else in. Are you... Now, you have the new 3DS. You've picked Correct. Up two titles that have sort of exclusive features, but they're not exclusive games. Are you looking at picking up Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, which will be exclusive to the new 3DS?
I actually am, yeah. I mean, I did hear about that originally when, I guess, when I looked into Shulk from the... when he was announced for Smash. I looked into it, and it seemed like a really fun game, and so I think I will pick it up when it comes out.
Cool.
It seems good. I'm a fan of RPGs, and I have no time to really play consoles with my schedule, so my 3DS is my big system at the moment.
That's good. No, I love what Nintendo's doing in the portable realm, and I look forward to seeing what they're going to do this summer with E3. And I don't know. There's been rumblings that their 3DS, like, I don't know if they can then go another year with the 3DS. I think that's why the new 3DS is there. They're probably trying to bridge the gap to do that fusion console they've been talking about, where it's like part handheld and part mm-hmm. console. It'd be interesting to see, but that's rad. Is there anywhere the listeners can find you to find out more about your adventures in Monsters Hunters?
I actually really don't. I mean, I have my social media things, but I don't really. I don't really have any like blogs or anything I can. Talk about.
But you in the chat there for Twitch, I guess we'll say that because you're a yes. GamersIn/Hearthstone Angry Chicken listener, I assume. So where can people find you in the chat, I guess?
Oh, in the chat, you can find me at KnightStrider321.
Perfect.
I'll be there, actually. And I actually do... I guess I can put this up here. The Steam Bucket on YouTube, I actually do Let's Plays every now and then, or I'm starting to.
Cool.
I decided to put up my first one as a little unusual game called Chex Quest.
Hmm. I never heard of it.
It was a marketing ploy back in, I think it was the 90s maybe, by Chex, which basically they made Doom, but with breakfast cereal.
That sounds fantastic.
I was addicted to it when I was little. It was my favorite computer game, and I just found it again. You can download all three games now for free, and it's pretty funny.
That sounds awesome. I, you know what? Video games based on breakfast cereals, a win in my book. We will say that for sure.
Mine too.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll let you go. It was awesome to talk to somebody who has a 3DS, and if we're not friends on 3DS, and I get my, we should be friends on the 3DS. We'll exchange friend codes.
Definitely.
And we will hunt monsters. I'll let you know if I pick up. If you're listening to the show, I'm sure you'll hear.
I can give you my friend code if you do get the game, and we can play together.
Sure, I'll send it over Skype once we finish the show. I'll figure it all out. But thank you for calling in. We're going to pull in the next person. But thanks again.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, next in the docket, or on the docket rather, we got Evan here who called in. Ah, perfect, the sound isn't playing. Evan is Josh's co-host, Josh on the Anykey Gaming Network, and he was on, Josh was our first guest, and now we have Evan. We're completing the set. How's it going, Evan?
Good, thanks, Ryan. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You sound like you're enjoying your Saturday morning.
I'm not doing too bad, I suppose. It's okay. Yeah, I can't complain.
I always make a joke, like, how's Friday going? Am I in for anything? Or he's in Australia.
It's been raining here, so maybe you'll get snow Saturday.
Oh, gosh. Actually, they are calling for snow on Sunday. You can keep it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, so what have you been playing?
Talked about it a little bit yesterday on the Gamers Night. I've been playing Hand of Fate this week.
Oh, perfect. I'm glad someone has. I couldn't remember who had actually been playing Hand of Fate. We actually have an email to that, so I will read the email, and then we're going to talk about Hand of Fate because some listeners were looking for impressions. And I will say before I read the email, I need you to convince me to play it, and from what I've seen, it shouldn't be too hard. So we got an email here from Rich who says, "Hey, Joss and Sidekick." Just kidding, Ryan. Well, tonight, it's Ryan and Sidekicks. Yeah. So have either of you played Hand of Fate? I picked it up on Xbone, and oh man, is it good. The combat is the sole weak point for me as it's baby's first Arkham, but even then, I still enjoy completing combat scenarios. I would love to hear your thoughts on the game. Great show as always, Rich in St. Louis. So, is it baby's first Arkham with a... But the combat is sort of the side aspect, right?
Yeah, the combat, I can understand what he says. I haven't played the Arkham games, to be honest, but get that gets referred to like that, very similar to that combat. Like that's what everyone's been saying about it. It's a little bit lacking. It's not too bad. It also doesn't last very long too. So it's not really the focus of the game is the combat. It's more kind of everything else that goes on.
Is the combat
so you kind of let it slide a little bit.
Is the combat like, is there a fail state in the combat, or do you find the combat's just so easy you never fail the combat?
No. I haven't failed a fight yet, but I've gotten very, very close. I mean, you've got a health bar and stuff, just like any, you know, action RPG kind of a thing. So I haven't yet failed. I thought I would yesterday, I think, when I was playing, but I managed to somehow survive with like 5 or 6 health, I think.
So we should probably...
So you can fail.
Okay, good. Well, not good, because you don't want to fail, but probably roll back and say what the game is. Because I was just thinking, like, we jumped into the combat. The combat is a part of the game, but from what I've seen, it's like, it's a card game, and then when there's like a combat scenario, that's when it turns into like your player sort of like ports into the world, and then you have to either combat or traverse or so on and so forth, and it's a third-person action game. So do you find, like, so can you explain like the card system a little bit? Like, is it like a Magic the Gathering type thing?
Not really. So the cards, that's basically what the essence of the game is a card game. So you start off with a deck of cards that the dealer gives you. And then, so you can pick. So what happens is, so you go through and you get to pick, okay, so you've got, say you've got, might have, I think you start with like 16 or 18 cards, but you can only have a deck of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So you pick, so if, okay, I want 3 swords, a shield or 2, maybe some armor if you've got some armor and stuff like that. And then what happens is, as the game progresses, you'll draw upon your deck. So then you get the chance to, okay, fine, then I'll draw a shield. So then my character gets a shield. And then as you complete particular missions, then your deck size increases. So then next time you can take 12 cards. So you might have got a rare piece of armor, the last one, so you can chuck then. So you got a chance of picking that up as you mill through the deck kind of a thing. It's not. So then what happens is you have a token,
mm-hmm.
and the dealer sets out a random number of cards on the table, and then you've got to navigate your token to each card, and then so you go on the card, and then it can be, you can, might be a combat, or you might stumble across a shop, or like you might go into a maze. So then you get this little, and then it becomes like a, then you get to that bit, and then it becomes like a text-based adventure, and you can choose to go into the maze, or sometimes you might get the chance to say you stumble across, you know, a couple of goblins, and then you can say, do you want to try and sneak attack them, or do you want to let them go? And if you sneak attack, then he draws 4 cards, which are, some are success, some are failure,
mm-hmm.
and so then they shuffles them, and then you got to pick one of those. So you get like a little bit of text space, whether you can, you know, pick almost Dungeons and Dragons, it's like, you know, roll the dice, sort of, not roll actual dice, but that kind of a thing.
Interesting.
And then when that's done, yeah, then you go into the third person bit where then, so then your character's there, and then it, like, each card then like drops on top of your character, and then so whatever that card is that you've found, whether that's your axe or if you've got a shield, then that's how it materializes, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, the effect is really neat as you're porting into the scenario. Yeah. It looks so cool. This game actually has a very good presentation. I went out and watched, and I highly recommend everybody do this. If you're not convinced, go watch the Giant Bomb Quick Look. It showcases the game very well. And the presentation's top notch. Are you playing on PC, or did you pick it up on your Xbox as well as Rich did?
I picked it up on PC because on Steam, it's not now, but like for, I had like a release special and it was down to like $20 American.
Mm.
So I picked it up on Steam because it worked out with the conversion rate just a little bit cheaper than it was, like, I think closer to $30 on the Xbox for me.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I try to pick up games more on my computer anyway. I play more on there. So
I've been finding, like, it's funny. Like, I've been finding that I play a lot more on the PC because it's segregated from the rest of the house. It's easier to be like, okay, I'll just go play in my office as opposed to like trying to wrangle the TV and trying to make sure there's no like distractions. You know, because most games these days you can't pause, and if you are pausing, you know, you skip a cutscene or something stupid like that, and it's like, it's just easier in the office. It sounds like I'm complaining. I probably am. But I do try to find, occasionally I'll go out of my way to be like, okay, I'm going to get this on the console so I can play more console games. And I just don't end up playing the game because I just find that it's, and then the night one in the chat room is like, Ryan, try having kids. It's like, yeah. So that's the other thing too, is like, probably best to build up the biggest backlog on the computer, so then I can just ignore my kids, and then they don't have to see the awful, awful things that daddy's playing on his computer. That sounds bad, but Hand of Fate is not like that kind of game. There's a bit of like, there's a bit of combat, maybe some scary monsters, but nothing too crazy you'd want to hide from the kids.
Nah, it's not too hack and there's no hack or slash or anything. Yeah. It's not very violent, and it's actually a Australian developer, which I didn't realize when I purchased the game. Goes through the titles and yeah, and it got some guys out of Brisbane.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool. So it's good to see like guys from here, you know. Producing, I think it's a really top quality game. Like I listen to a lot of Frog Pants podcasts, and Scott Johnson's been talking about it a lot on Boop, and he's raving about it. He, you know, reckons it's Game of the Year contender already, and which is cool. I think it's a really solid game. It's all randomized, so you could easily play through and have a different experience, pick up different gear. Everything's going to be different. The decks you'll end up collecting as you go. It's real tidy. I'm really happy with it. So
cool. Well, you know what? I think you may have convinced me. I do have a lot on my plate when it comes to games. I have a lot to choose from. I'm convinced I'm probably going to play Darkest Dungeon.
I think you should do that. Yeah, you should play Darkest Dungeon first. It's brutal.
I've got Darkest Dungeon, I've got Resident Evil Revelations 2, Episode 1, Penal Colony. I like saying the whole name because it sounds more ridiculous that way. I have Grey Goo that I've still been playing. I have Massive Chalice. This is my issue, is I have way too many games. What was another one? I got the Homeworld Collection. I've never played Homeworld before. I have no idea what to expect, and people have been talking really good things about it, so I want to check that out. And then I also have Republic Remastered, which just...
You picked that up.
I backed the Kickstarter, actually, like way back in the day. And I've come to realize that I'm just not very good at playing tablet games. I'm very good at buying them. I've gotten really good at that. But not actually sitting down to play them. So I've got Episode 1, 2, and 3 on my iPad, but I just couldn't really get into it. And I'm going to play on my PC. It looks fantastic, and... probably some more YouTube videos coming up on some of those games that we mentioned. But I am tempted to pick up Hand of Fate on the PS4. It's only $20 there as opposed to $25 on Steam. And it does look like a lot of fun. I have one final question on the matter. Is it kind of like a quick play? Like, it's not like a slog. You can kind of get in, do like a mode for like 20 minutes and then pop out? Or do you find it's a little longer than that?
Well, you've got – so the whole story progression of the game is you go through – it's a deck of cards, so you've got to beat like the Jack, Queen, and King of every set. But I haven't had any trouble. Like if it's – it seems to like auto-save like with every hand dealt. So like I haven't had any trouble just dropping out suddenly because I've had to go or something. It just saves your progress. Like the combat only lasts for like 2 minutes, you know, maybe max, like – so it's not like that's really long. So it's really easy to drop in and out of. Yeah, there's not really a problem.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll take a look or at least add it to my wish list and see about getting around to it at some point. But awesome. I'm glad you called in and we got a chance to talk about this because we did briefly talk about it yesterday. So I wanted to follow up on that conversation.
And I don't get a chance to be on my podcast this week, so I don't get to talk about it there. So,
well, I'm sure you'll get around to it. And speaking of your podcast, we'll give you let all the listeners know where they can find you.
Just at Evan Ottaway on Twitter, and I'm with Josh, our first guest. So we do a podcast together. It's the Any Key Gaming, which I can't remember if he said we're actually finally on iTunes. So we've feel like a real podcast now, so
yeah.
You can find us wherever there, or just search for Any Key Gaming on YouTube and stuff. All our videos go up there, so yeah, check us out. Cool. We do what we can.
Yeah, akgnetwork.com, and it's Any Key Gaming on iTunes. And I do, excuse me, I was trying. I had A&W for dinner. Trying to keep that down, but Any Key Gaming is awesome, and we really love you guys over there, and we look forward to doing more stuff with you guys, especially Dungeon Defenders 2, because that is so much fun.
No, well, like Josh said, I mean, if it wasn't for you guys, that's how we, like Josh and I, started doing stuff together. So we owe everything we do to you guys. So couldn't thank you enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Val is saying in the chat room that she guested on your show. You guys probably talked about Dragon Age.
That was our Dragon Age spoiler episode. Yeah.
So I think it was,
that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
Cool. No, Val's awesome, and she needs to. You guys need to have her on more. We need to have her on more because she's an awesome gamer, and the world needs a lot more awesome gamers. So, agreed. Speaking of Val, we're gonna pull her in a bit here. I'll let you go, and we'll play some games coming up real soon. I'll let you know how Darkest Dungeon goes. If I'm cursing and swearing over Twitter, you'll know I've played it, and then all my people have died.
Don't have anything you can throw in your vicinity.
Yeah, well, actually, if the camera could show what's around my desk, there's plenty to throw. so we'll get around to that very shortly. But yeah, again, thank you for calling in, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ryan. See ya.
Bye. Before we pull Val in here, we are going to wrap up. Probably Val will be our last caller for the evening. We are going to do more of these types of episodes, including our patron hangout, which planning forthcoming. But I do want to thank Doghouse Systems. Jocelyn and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. Use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. Perfect. And with that, we'll call Valerie. We'll bring her in. Valerie's a long-time podcast fan. She's been around since the beginning. Hey, Val, how's it going?
Good, you?
Good, good. Are you now? What are you playing? You tell me it's an odd little title. You even said, "Oh well, if you want to end the show talking about insert." Wait, I'm gonna try to say the name, and then you can correct me.
Oh God,
it's at. Atelier Rorona Plus, The Alchemist of Arland.
You're close. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah, you can totally see Ryan's eyes focused on the screen. I'm trying to read it. It's like, oh, the ad text. Yeah, it's really small. And I don't read it. I don't know it off by heart. But okay, so this is interesting. We don't really talk about these games on the show, so it's good to cover all our bases. I want to know... What, you're a big JRPG fan, right?
I am. I've played a couple in my lifetime, yes.
Good. And what drew you to this game? And it looks like it's new. It just came out last summer.
Well, this is the sort of reboot version. The original game came out, I think, a couple of years ago with older character models and older animation. And to be honest, it really didn't look that well. It didn't look that good. You have comparisons that you can see the old and the new version. The new version looks much better. But why I got into it is because I was a latecomer to the PlayStation 3. I got mine not this past Christmas, but the one before, when they sold it with the Last of Us as a bundle.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finished playing Last of Us, I was like, well, you can play a bunch of JRPGs on the PlayStation 3, way more than you can play on the Xbox, which is what I had. So I was like, okay, well, I knew about the Atelier series and that it was like a series, but I needed to play the first one first of all. Mm-hmm. And this is the first one in the game. I got it this Christmas, but didn't get around to playing it until now because I was playing Dragon Age.
Right.
I was like, I have got to put it down and start playing something else. I've been sinking like 100 hours into this thing. I'm like, I have other games. I have a pile of shame too. So I have to play it. So I popped it in like 2 weeks ago and I've been playing it nonstop.
Good. Well, no, that, and you know what, you have this skill that we call focusing on a game. Like, I think you did that with Dragon Age. As before we got you on the call, I was talking about all the games that I'm thinking of playing this weekend, and the gods on high know that I have plenty of other things to do, website-wise and all that. We even talked about it on the show with Lou throwing me under the... I threw myself under the bus. Lou just kind of made sure I stayed down there when the bus came back. But it's good to hear that you're focusing on another game here. Now, are you going to go on the Any Geek Gaming podcast and talk about Atlania Rorona?
I don't know. know, probably this weekend if I'm free. So far, I don't have anything planned, so maybe, yeah. But I'm trying not to go back to Dragon Age as I'm playing this, mm-hmm. because I'm a girl, so I want to play Dragon Age to see all the other romances available.
Don't say that. Like, I'm right there with you. It has nothing to do with you being a woman. Like, I love the romance stuff in Dragon Age. I was talking to Jocelyn about it. Like, it's like, there's a bug where the game thinks I'm a girl, and now, like, I can't romance my character, and... she's like, just keep playing. Why would you wait? It's like, I literally waited. I started another character, got like 10 hours into it, and then they finally patched it, and I was happy. I'm right there with you. Some of the romances that you can get in that game are some of the best, you know, funniest writing that BioWare does. So I do not blame you. I need to play that game again.
Oh, man.
I've been waiting for DLC on that game.
I don't know if we'll be getting DLC. I heard that Dragon Age Inquisition was supposed to be shipped as a full game.
Uh-huh.
I know we'll get the... I know the PC is getting the Black Emporium as a trial version. If you remember, in Dragon Age 2, you could go to the Black Emporium, buy items, change your character's look if you wanted to in-game. Mm-hmm. They're getting that in the PC. I don't know if I'll be getting that on the 360. But I heard that there wasn't supposed to be any story DLC. I don't know if that's true.
I know they didn't sell, like most games that EA publishes, like a season pass right from the get-go. But I have read rumblings that if they were going to do DLC, it would be complete zones, similar to, like, unlocking the hinterlands and unlocking stuff like that. So they would give you, like, here's another zone for you to go to. I'd like to see them do something like... Let's go to Kirkwall. Let's go to Denerim. Like, places.
I'd love to go back to Kirkwall.
Yeah. I don't know if Denerim's a city. It's been so long since I've played
Orange.
Okay, it is. Good. It sounded familiar. I think that'd be really neat, like, to see what has happened with the other places. Kirkwall gives them an opportunity to kind of revisit some of the Dragon Age 2 characters that didn't make it through. But, Evan's saying they're working on DLC now, but...
Oh.
I wonder if we won't even get to see it until E3. I wonder if it'll take that long. But
oh god,
I don't know if I can wait that long.
I hope
long.
Not, because the way it ended, you're like, ugh.
Oh right, the ending. The ending just spells, like, we are gonna have some story DLC for you fine folks.
Yeah, for sure.
No day one DLC with Dragon Age. They listened. I guess they listened to everybody's. Complaining. The chat room here is talking about day one DLC. I don't know. Day one DLC sucks, but, like, yeah.
It depends. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the only time I bought day one DLC was Mass Effect 3.
Right.
And you had, oh god, what's his name?
It's a J, right?
Javik?
Javix, yes.
I have it. Jarvis in my mind, but that's not it. Jarvis is something else. So, yeah.
Jarek?
Javik. I think it's the Prothean?
Yes, we'll just go with Prothean. But yeah, no, that was day one DLC, and that was pretty egregious. And I know, like, they give it to you for free if you, like, get the expensive edition, but
yeah,
it still felt a little icky.
Forced? Yeah.
Forced is but then the other argument is, like, it's a character that you want to have right from the get-go.
Yep.
So, like, I never really understood character additions to your team that mm-hmm. come, you know, like, 6 months after the release. It's like, well, I've already beaten the game. Why would I go back and beat it
exactly.
again?
Exactly.
You know, so it's got its hits and misses. Probably BioWare should have just included it in the main game and then not done any extra characters, but I don't know. I just don't know. So you are continuing to play at Lirona. Plus,
keep trying.
I will never get it. And that's a unique title on the PS3. It's a JRPG.
It is.
How far are you into it?
Maybe I'm in like 5 or 6 hours in. It's cute because it's a cute little story. It's totally lighthearted, totally nonviolent. You start the game off as this girl, Rorona, who works in an alchemist shop with her master, who doesn't do any work. Her master is totally lazy, sleeps most of the time, and she, in the year that Rorona has been there, she's never learned alchemy or nothing. So here comes like a knight of the kingdom telling her, well, you have 3 years to prove yourself and to prove that you can run your shop, or we're going to close your shop. And every 3 months, you get an assignment, and you have to fulfill that assignment in the allowed time, and you have to pass it in order to continue making and utilizing and running the workshop. So what I like about this game is that it's diversified with that, is that you can do a lot of things. You can collect materials to put in your workshop and make a bunch of different things, sell them, fulfill the assignments. But it's a lot of managing, because some people will give you requests in order to like build your appreciation, because the people of the town have to like you. If they don't like you, I don't know what's going to happen. Did they kick you out of the town, or it's game over? I don't know.
Hopefully they don't kick you out of that. I mean, they need your alchemist, right? Like, yeah, like that lazy guy is going to get off his butt and do some work.
I don't know. But what I don't like is that, okay, so you have somebody gave you one mission, mm-hmm. and you have to fulfill it by, let's say, the 24th day of the fourth month. But every time you run around everywhere, you make alchemy, you go to areas to explore and get materials, well, your time runs out and you see the days coming closer. I'm like, oh no, I won't have the time to do this and do that. It's kind of like Dragon Age. It's impossible to do everything.
Well, hopefully you do get to do everything. You know what? This is what I like about this conversation. Like, you look at all the other games we talked about this evening. There's been some unique indie ones, but they're pretty like... they're pretty high profile. I mean, maybe Space Engineers is probably pretty close to being an under the radar type title, but like, I love playing games that are different. And mm-hmm. anytime anybody says like, oh, you know, I don't know if you want to talk about it, it's like, it's not a very like mainstream game. It's like, screw that. Let's talk about it, because some of the best games I've ever played are the ones that no one's ever heard of. Yeah.
There's one game that I've played. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the best and weirdest games are the Japanese games.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever played Akiba's Trip, Undead and Undressed?
No, but...
you've never played that?
It sounds weird. Should I Google it? The undressed part has me a little wary.
It was one of the weirdest games I have ever played in my life. I played it before Christmas. I wanted to give it a go because I'm an anime fan from the start. So I'm like, okay, it's totally an anime fetish game. You have to beat up people and strip them in that game.
Right. What is it called? Akira?
Akiba's Trip. A-K-I-B-A Trip?
Oh, yeah. Akiba's Trip. Undead and Undressed.
Mr. Zombie Game over here. That's a zombie game.
It's a zombie game, so I have to play it.
Yeah.
With the PS4 version coming late in 2014. I wonder.
Oh yeah, really?
Oh yeah, this is pretty inappropriate. Look at that. Okay.
Oh yeah.
It's a teen game. What? It's not mature.
It's not mature. The only thing you get to see are panty shots and bras. That's it. You won't see anything else. But you know what? What's actually, when you start doing a chain of combos and you start ripping like multiple enemies' clothes off, it's really rewarding.
Okay.
And satisfying, and it's a hard game.
Now, what does it do for the zombies to take their clothes off? It stops them from being zombies?
Sort of. The zombies have a sensitivity to light and sunlight. So when you get their clothes off, they kind of disappear. They die, basically.
I'm not seeing any zombies in these pictures. It's all just people with no clothes on. Like, what?
Well, we're not really talking the traditional zombie here. More like zombies sort of brain dead, but not necessarily dead. I don't know how to phrase it, but that's
like, they're like sort of like slave zombies.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Now it all makes sense. I get it. Now it
makes sense.
Oh, well, you know what? Maybe that'll be one of those weird games that we check out and we talk about on the end. But I think that might have to do it, Val. I do appreciate you calling in. It's not often we get to chat, and I'm glad every time we do.
I saw it on Facebook. I was like, oh, my God, they're holding a call. I have to call.
I'm glad I posted it to Facebook then. We don't usually pay a lot of attention to zombies and they're zombies. What am I saying? I'm reading the chat. I'm reading the chat at the same time, and it's tough doing everything all at once. But no, it's not very often we get to chat with you or we post to Facebook. So I'm glad that we did get to catch you. But yes, thank you for calling in and adding a little bit of flavor to the show with a female caller. That's always nice, and also to talk about some zombie stripping.
My pleasure.
I'll have to. You know what? Maybe I'll try to get Bob to play this one for Zombies Ate My Podcast. It's like Val assured me there's zombies in there. It's all good. So okay. Awesome. Well, thank you for calling in. And I guess before you go, is there anywhere the fine listeners can find you that you want to pimp?
Pretty much on Twitter. You can look it up. Use my name, Val Gravel. That's my whole name. I usually talk about games on my Twitter. I'm also on Facebook. You can look at me there. And as it was mentioned before, I guested on NEK Gaming. And for the Dragon Age spoiler cast, it was really a lot of fun to do. So listen to me there if you want to.
Cool. Yeah, you can go to akgnetwork.com. It's I believe the episodes are clearly labeled, but yep. We'll put it in the notes so people can find it and get their hands on that. Because Val's a huge Dragon Age fan, and
I read the books.
Oh, see, she reads the books. She does the homework, everybody. Some of you just go out and play the games. She does the homework.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, thank you for calling. We're gonna let you go, and we'll wrap up the show.
Bye.
Bye. All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. Thank you for everybody who called in. Thank you for everybody who tuned in to watch us live. Just one final plug here for Slash Loot. If you want to show your TGI pride, head over to slashloot.com. That's S-L-A-S-H, loot.com, to grab yourself a Gamers Inn t-shirt. They have tons of awesome other shirts. I read that weirdly, including all of your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torrent Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast pride. And speaking of Slash Loot and Frog Pants type stuff, Nerdtacular.com, the tickets are for sale. You can still purchase them. They're not sold out yet. I am going to be there. I am bringing my lovely wife, Ashley. We bought tickets, and if she's listening to this, we are still in the planning process. Nothing is 100% until it's 100%, but it's looking that way. Don't tell her I said that. But Jocelyn will be there as well, and we're looking forward to hanging out with all you fine folks in person in Salt Lake City. So go to nerdtacular.com, check that out. Want to thank the patrons. Today's patron is Derek R. Awesome guy. Speaking of Dragon Age, we played Dragon Age Inquisition multiplayer together, and I just wanted to thank Derek for being a lovely patron of the Gamers Inn. You too can go to patreon.com/thegamersinn and you can become a patron just like Derek. Finally, we're wrapping up the show here. I do have a Steam code for Tomb Raider to give away. If you want to get this Tomb Raider game on Steam, supplied by a lovely listener, I'm sorry, I'm probably going to butcher your name, but if I'm right, let me know. Jesper, from Sweden, I believe, is what his email said. I shouldn't be doing this right now. Pull it up here. Yeah, it's Jesper. And if you want that code, email us info@gamersinpodcast.com. And, I don't know. I didn't think ahead. Just tell us what you think. What game you're most looking forward to in 2015, because there is a new Tomb Raider coming out this year. But you can go to gamersinpodcast.com, find us on the web there. You can also find us on amove.tv along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. Follow us on Twitter. You can find Jocelyn at GISGamer, Ryan, myself, at RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Jocelyn Moffat. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. Email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com, like Jesper did with his code for Tomb Raider, and like you can to win that code. So thanks for tuning in to the call-in show. Let us know if you liked it or not, if you want us to do it more, or if you want to call in, let us know. And we'll talk to you all next week.